part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you live. Yes, always live with my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, and Darren the Parlay Kid. What is going on, guys?
What's going on, Sal?
Hi, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
I don't know why I'm so enthusiastic today. I'm going to vomit right now because and I also don't think that too many people care about this, but I have to spell it out. I have to verb. It helps if I talk about it. We have Fox Bet Live. This is Thursday. This is our very last day for betting. We bet all year long, 51 weeks. We took the week after Super Bowl off. 51 weeks after 51 weeks, Todd Furman and I are battling back and forth. I have an $1,100 lead, which is pretty substantial. Clay Travis is in third. Get the morphine drip out. He's done. He's just a spectator at this point. But it's me and Furman, neck and neck, $1,100. Well, the reason we're led neck and neck is because he has Ricky Fowler to come in first to lead after the first round. And Fowler is one shot off the lead with three holes left in a weather-delayed tournament right now. I'm losing my mind, Brother Bri. Checking this. I renewed the NBC Gold to watch this featured group. It's sickening what's happening here. How is it so close?
It's so hard to follow too. Yeah, I know. I'm one of those guys. I hate watching Fowler too. I'm shocked here. I know he's played a little bit better, but I'm shocked that he's at the top of the leaderboard, which makes Fowler it even more infuriating.
And you know, here's what's crazy, guys. I'm gonna be honest with you. I put money on Fowler because I hedged against it. I went $4,500 if Fowler wins, and I'm rooting against him. Like I swear to God, I'm rooting hard. I even looked. I guess a tie would be good. I didn't want to talk about this. If Fowler wins, though, Furman is $5 behind me.
Amazing.
I mean, how effing insane is that? We have Furman coming on in about a half hour to talk about this. But let's say goodbye to the NBA season. The Bucks plus 850, win it all. Parlay Kid, you're right. I looked it up. I did have them. I had them to win the East. Whatever. I had like three other teams scattered around there. But nice job by them. Really, I don't know which title you want to give a bigger asterisk to. Lakers last year in the bubble, the Bucks this year. Maybe I'm riding the wave of the victory and I'm so impressed with Giannis, but good job by them. They shut up. If you like old school basketball, they kind of did it that way, right? They beat up the Suns. They won four straight. They deserve it. It's hard to say they don't deserve it. You can bring up the injuries, but they did what they had to. They were left for dead like three times this tournament.
Yeah. If you were to ask me, like, you know, I think the Lakers, you know, look, championships are championships. So, but if there's, I think the Lakers is not as meaningful last year as the Bucks title this year, for sure.
I agree, Dave.
Right, Harry? And really, the Suns were the biggest beneficiary of the injuries throughout the playoffs. I think it's very safe to say, and this, look, injuries are part of the game, they happen, that the Nets, if they're fully healthy, probably would have won the championship this year.
And that's why they're favored. We'll go over. They're a 2-1 favorite. I mean, that's not a fun pick.
Oh.
So if they run it back with those three and they're healthy and everything else and everyone shuts up and whatever, 2-1. I'm not betting them at 2-1. I've seen them close to 3-1 other spots. But we'll go over our 2022 picks in a minute. First of all, we did our race to 10 the other night. Terrible. Terrible way to go out. 10-5 we lost. What was it? Middleton on a breakaway dunk. I don't even know who the hell was. So bad.
It was Harry's fault.
Phoenix had more turnovers than points after the first 10 points.
That was definitely so awful to watch those first 10 minutes. It was really like brick after brick after brick. Bri, do you think we were like 4-4 or something?
Well,
we raced to 10.
Well,
we had a race to 1 in there also.
I mean, I was 4-1. So I think Darren and Harry each won once, right?
Oh, okay. So maybe we were like 6-5.
Yeah, and then we won the race to 1. Yeah, so we were probably like 2 or 3 games over.
7-4, 7-5.
Yeah, probably.
Sounds right, but we'll take that. We had some dogs in there too. So
that's right. We'll take it. That's exactly right. All right, Giannis, great. Yeah, what could you say about him? I mean, 50 points may have been the greatest closeout game we've seen. 50 points. He orders a 50-piece mini from Chick-fil-A. That's a mini from Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, by the way, top 3 restaurant in Wisconsin. So it may not have just been a little fetish thing, but he loves the Chick-fil-A. Harry, you like the Chick-fil-A. Would you be able to polish off 50 tenders?
You know what? I probably could. I probably could do it. Maybe our buddy, Meta World Peace, might be better at than me. He was a big fan of it too. He loved Burger King. So if he liked Burger,
what do you mean you probably could? Of course you could. They're not that big.
They're not that bad.
Yeah, you guys have pen and paper, Brian, Darren, you have pen and paper. I want to guess like how long it would take for Harry to eat 50.
Oh, I could pound.
Or do you have a phone? Could you put it in your phone? Well, now you can pound them.
Well, I'm just saying,
a little wishy-washy about 30 seconds ago.
Chick-fil-A's a little expensive, though. A little expensive.
You're talking about 50.
Don't worry about it, Harry.
How long
would
take
we would
to
pay
finish?
You. Okay. Yeah, we would pay you. Don't worry about it.
Like I said, if Meta World Peace likes chicken from Burger King, he definitely likes it from Chick-fil-A.
All right, but we're talking about you right now. How long would it take you? Don't say it. We're going to write it down. Don't say it yet. You suck at this part.
We're saying how many.
I am the worst.
How many minutes?
I think how long.
How many minutes?
Yeah, well, minutes. If you think hours, whatever.
50? 50. Right?
52.
Is it 50 chicken nuggets, though? Is it nuggets?
Nuggets.
Yeah, are they nuggets?
Yeah. They're the nuggets.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I could.
All right, here we go.
You want me to guess?
Let's pull them up. We're guessing. You're going to say. We're going to guess what you say. Ah, whatever. I don't even know why we're doing this. Ready? Hold it up there. I say 18 minutes.
Yeah.
I said 50 seconds.
I said 1 per second.
I said 20 minutes, I said.
Harry, who's right? I guess we should have gotten your answer first.
I think
Sal, you'd be a good game show host.
Sal, you're close, but Brian's dead on. 20 minutes.
20 minutes. So 1 every 2.5 minutes.
He's a human vacuum cleaner. Who was the infielder they used to call the human vacum cleaner, right?
Third baseman.
Why don't they call anybody that anymore? That was a great nickname. So, who was it? Was it Larry Boa or somebody like that?
It wasn't
a third baseman.
It wasn't Derek Jeter. It wasn't Derek Jeter.
Oh, come on. All right. So let's move on from this. Brian, you guys, I said a fake line here. Giannis over under 1.5 more titles. Very difficult to pull off. And if you think he got lucky and injuries and everything, you're probably going to go under. But what if I offered plus 160 for the over? Harry, you biting?
Yeah, I am. I mean, look, this team, put it this way. The last 3 years, Milwaukee's been fantastic. Record of, I think this year they had 20 games over 500. The past couple of years, the same thing, if better than that. They're like 35 games over 500 the last couple of years. And over these 3 years, they've averaged about 120 points a game. Their bench is good, and free agents will want to come there now that they know Giannis can get it done.
Maybe that is a good point. I would go under because I like the big vig anyway. Bri, do you go over? I think he has maybe one in him.
Yeah, I mean,
he's young.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think he wins one more. I would probably take the over, right? Because in 2 or 3 years, I mean, this is already probably his league, you could say, at this point in time, but. In two or three years, when Durant's past his time, when LeBron's out, when Curry's a little bit too old, I mean, this is going to be his league and Luka's league. Probably it's probably mostly going to be Giannis's league. So I think he could definitely get. I think he can get two more.
Yeah, I don't know. Now I'm hedge. I don't know, Parley Kid. Now I mean, we don't take into consideration that he can go to the Lakers in 9 years and win it, right?
Yeah, well, I would take those odds because who's going to want to come play with Giannis now too? Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So, I think in this last series here, is this the beginning? I mean, Giannis might've played his best basketball here over this series. Right. So is Giannis only going to maybe even continue to get better?
Right.
You know, if he can shoot free throws, if his free throw shooting gets better, like it did this last game, he's almost going to become unstoppable. They play a very smart game with Giannis. They do a lot of him setting high screens where you gotta cover him. Let's guys like Middleton do their thing. They're a well-constructed team. I would take the odds on that of him going over on
over?
That. Right. He's got how many more good years of basketball does the guy have left?
If
somebody gave you those odds when LeBron was his age, you would have taken him, right?
There was no other LeBron in the league, though, right? I don't know. We're going to get to MVP, and we're going to figure it out. Let's pick a winner for 2022. Does he do it this year? The Bucks are plus 850 again, this time to repeat. The Nets, as I said, a favorite 2-1. Lakers 6-1. Suns made the finals. They're 12-1. Bri, you like this team to repeat?
Yeah, I like them at plus 850. I mean, we may have a place where the Bucks just have where the Bucks just have a lot of confidence now. We're potentially looking at Giannis, I think, making the conference finals like I mean, he can make the conference finals like every year for the next maybe 8 years. I think there's a chance the bench is better, like Parley Kidd and Harry were saying. I mean, some guys might want to come play there. I didn't necessarily think the bench was great, but they did get some production there. But I'm not necessarily confident. I mean, look, I'm not necessarily confident with the Nets at 2-1. Were they the best team? Yes, absolutely. They would have won if they were healthy. But again, will they be healthy next week, next year? Can all three of those guys stay healthy? Can the Can the Clippers stay healthy? Can the Lakers stay healthy with? I mean, I doubt AD stays healthy. Can Clay and Steph stay healthy? Mm-hmm. So it's all these injury concerns. I'd be most confident with the Bucks at plus 850 just because I think they're going to be a top four team regardless.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Parley Kidd, you like the Nuggets?
Yeah, look, I'm just MVP. Looking for value here, Sal, because I you know, I do love the Nets. I forget what we were getting them. What did we say what we were getting them at this time last year? Not this time, but before the season.
Yeah.
Do we remember what
that's
it was?
That's a good question.
It wasn't two to one.
No.
Right? I don't think that's what it was.
No, because you didn't even have Harden. But
you didn't have Harden. Right. So
6-1.
I thought it was
6-1,
like,
right, Bri?
Yeah, I think
6-1 sounds right, Harry. Yeah. So 2-1 is just not. You know, you're again, that's a team that's going to, you know, is Kyrie going to show up and play every night? Is you know, Durant going to hold up for a full season? Remember, we're going back, right? It's going to be an 82 game season now as well.
Yep.
So that's going to be an issue.
It's another 4 weeks.
I don't know. I'm rolling the dice here, but maybe I might have to switch out of this depending on Murray, the extent of that injury and how long he's going to be out for Denver, right? So an ACL injury. Maybe he might not be back for at least half
you can't switch out, Parley Kidd. I know it's the third week in July and the season starts on Halloween, but you got to commit right now.
What did I say?
Nuggets, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You said the magic.
I know, but now I'm just not loving, you know, as I'm thinking about the injury. So, but I'm going to stick. Look, Jokic, reigning MVP, he comes back. If they,
all right.
I don't know. You know what? So I'm passing. I'm passing.
Hey, oh, he's passing. All right. Harry likes
I'm just
the Nuggets
pass
too,
it
but
because
he likes 50 of them.
Now, I just, you know
what? This is the longest pass I've ever.
It's
Aaron
the ACL,
Rodgers would be
right?
Impressed
with
this pass.
He's not coming back until when? Is he even going to be back next year?
He should be okay. I mean, I think they're saying Kawhi will probably be back.
Because I'm just
the
trying to.
We
know because now we're talking about when these injuries happened.
Right.
And the season's starting earlier this year. So I don't know how long these guys would miss.
I don't think by
well, if Murray's listen, back yeah. and he's like, healthy, take
I
the Nuggets at 24-1. Forget everything else. Yeah. They won 47. They were 47-25.
Holy
they
crap.
Probably would have won 50 games if he didn't get injured last year.
Yeah.
All right.
The West is a little they're declining a little bit. It's on a decline. Let's
look, Clay Travis.
Let's
here.
Joke. Look,
no, this is
Pat. Jokic.
Pass.
Darren, think, just take everybody, Darren, except for the Bucks and then the Nets. How about that?
Well, I would say this. I wouldn't worry so much about that. I can't say you wouldn't worry about the injuries, but the timing of the injury, because they'll make the playoffs. I know it's not like the East, but they have to win a lot of games to make the playoffs. You know, they have to be in that 55 range. Whatever.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Right. But even if they get a 6 seed and you still think they're good.
Yeah,
well,
I screwed that up. I don't know.
It's okay.
I'll go Nets 2-1.
You want a few more minutes to explain yourself?
Take the Nets 2-1. They're going to win it all.
Harry, what do you got?
Warriors at 13-1. Look, they're a fun team. They'll be back. And just looking at the West right now, the Suns probably won't get Chris Paul to resign. He's going to go somewhere else. Probably Lakers are getting older. And overall, the whole entire picture, the Nets, you guys just mentioned 2-1, no value. They got to stay healthy. Nash is a big question mark when it comes to head coach. And why not the Warriors? They get Klay Thompson back. Curry scored 32 still this past season. Wiggins gets 20 a game. Get Wiseman healthy. I know he had a nice, strong part season at the beginning and then got hurt. So he needs to stay healthy. Golden State, like I said, very fun team. And when you have Draymond Green going well, when the team is going good, he's good too. So why not the Warriors with Klay Thompson back to give the make a run in the West and make a shot at maybe the Nets in the championship or even
talk about Lillard. Lillard going there too, but I don't know. I think Lillard stays still. I also at 13-1, I like the Clippers. Now, Kawhi could hold this team hostage for the next few months, and he probably will. But anyway, a few months is good load management for him. Reggie Jackson came into his own. They're in the playoffs. Great. Nicholas Batum very good. Brother Bri agrees they would have beaten the Suns, right? Mm-hmm. Had Kawhi been healthy. I mean, that was the big one, right? That would have turned everything around. It really should have been Clippers Nets. But, and of course, I guess it depends on who the Lakers fill in, right? There's a reason the Lakers are second at 6-1 because they're going to get a shooter. Chris Paul isn't the answer. You'll have a big three situation, but with much less upside and much more likelihood that they are injured together or no one ever plays together. But if you look at the NBA ranks for the Clippers, first in 3-point percentage, 41%, second in point differential per game, 6.2. And defensively, they get it done. Fourth, opponents' points per game was 107.8. They have $70 million in potential cap filler for trades. So that's a team, I think, on the rise. The Clippers, of course, big caveat. Kawhi stays with the team. 2022 MVP. It was hard to find odds on this. FanDuel, I think, has him up, and then they didn't have him. When I looked, they didn't have him up, but we got him. Luka 4-1, Embiid 7-1, Durant 7-1, Giannis 8-1, Curry 8-1, LeBron 11, Lillard 11, Jokic, my God, he won it this year, 15-1, Booker 18, Trae Young 18. It's just too many superstars, guys, right? Like, we like watching everyone in the top 20, and they're almost all on teams that can do well. So it's hard to say, oh, no way for this guy. I'm taking whoever doesn't get hurt, right? And
right.
I think it's Steph Curry, Harry. I know you're with me here. 8-1 odds. Like you said, 32 points a game, up from 20 last year. Weird bubble season. He hadn't averaged 30, though, since 2016. You know he's going to be a highlight machine, right? He'll get all the SportsCenter time that anyone could imagine. 8-1 Curry. You have anything to add to that, Harry?
Yeah, like I said, Klay Thompson and him are great. The Splash Brothers back together again. He shot 57. He was close this year, and Golden State was just 39 and 33. 57% he shot from two-point range this year, 42 from three, 48 overall. He averaged 5 threes a game. And with Thompson back, this team could be deadly, and he'll be up there definitely for MVP.
Bri, I read your I thought you said Batum at 25-1. I was like, oh, my God, I feel like it should be better than that. But it's not. It's Tatum. It's one letter off. Make sure you don't make that mistake when you bet it. 25-1 for Tatum?
Yeah, I like about 25-1. Look, I bet a lot on Luka last year. I'll probably continue to bet him every year just because I think eventually he's going to win one. Giannis is probably going to win another one. Those guys will probably split, you know, four of the next eight potentially. But when I'm looking for value, I like Tatum at 25-1. I'm looking for a player who potentially has another level in them. And I think Tatum would fit in this category. Like if you looked at him in April, his April was ridiculous. From late March on, he averaged like 30 points a game. His numbers were great. In games 3 through 5 against the Nets, he was great by himself. Playing in the Olympics with KD to learn from will help him. They already said he's working on drawing a lot more fouls next year that I saw. I think not having Kemba is going to help him, at least offensively. And then, you know, having a new coach may benefit him. Who knows? So I think, you know, he has that potential to take that next step. I mean, the Celtics should be a little bit better next year. I think just 25-1 is great, and he'll be part of the conversation.
Bri, how many wins does Boston really have to have for him to really be considered, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question. I mean, I think they have to be a third or a fourth seed, likely. I mean,
well, what was Denver this year?
They were a four, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, and Westbrook was a six. I don't know how much it matters anymore. I do know. So here's how it went this year, right? Luka was favored because he went up like points per game. You look at some of these guys' points per game. I'm like, oh, Trae Young would be good. But he actually went down 4 points per game from last year. I know last year was weird. Wow. Same thing with Devin Booker. I was like, wow, he went down like a point and a half from last year. Maybe last year was in good gauge, but they do take that into account. That's why Luka was favored going into this year. Dallas was like in 10th place for the first couple months, so he dropped out of there. Then I think LeBron was the favorite, right? He got hurt. Embiid was the favorite. He got hurt. And then Jokic, who was just like sniffing around the top three the whole season, stayed healthy. I think he played every single game, and he won MVP, and he's 15-1 parlay kid. But you have someone we haven't even mentioned, parlay kid.
Yeah, we're going to take the Utah Jazz, Donovan Mitchell here at 30-1. Mitchell, it will be 25 as he enters his fifth season in the NBA. His scoring average has gone up every year from 20 to 23 to 24 to 26. He capped in his playoffs. He was phenomenal, even ending on a loss to the Clippers with 39, 9, and 9. He can carry that team, that's for sure. The Jazz always win a lot of games, right, during the regular season. Mm-hmm. In fact, they won 52 games this year, from what I believe. I didn't write that down, but I'm pretty sure they actually won more than the Suns.
Best home record, yeah,
this
too.
Year. Right, right. So great at home. Mitchell is only getting better. Seems to be a very driven player. He has a high shot volume. He does shoot a lot, which is great. He All was right. taking, geez, in the playoffs, he was averaging about 15 threes a game at one point. So Mitchell's going to put up, I think he's going to be putting up numbers close to, 30-plus points a game this year as he really takes that next step. And the Jazz are going to be one of the top two or three teams in the West. They're going to win a lot of games. Mitchell's great value as a guy who is ascending into the prime of his career, 30-1.
There you go. I mean, was that his Hall of Fame speech? I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I like Donovan. I love the guy.
All right. So someone remember who we picked for MVP in July. I don't know. It's these numbers are all good. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And these players are all good. It's almost it's such a crapshoot. You can't really rule any of these guys out, right? Anyone we just named in the top 12. But anyway, NBA draft. Oh, that's big. When is that? We're going to be a little on a mini vacation.
Thursday, next week, Sal.
So it's a week from today.
Yeah.
These odds will change between now and then. Cade Cunningham, yes, the Oklahoma State guard. He is the prohibited betting favorite to get selected first by the Pistons. What is it, minus 6,000? Now I don't even have it up here.
Yep, minus
is that it?
Minus
6,000. Incredible for him. Who is second? Well, now it's second and third. It's a crapshoot, right, between Jalen Green, the G Leaguer, and I averaged 30 points in the G League, and Evan Mobley, who will go 2 and 3 to Houston or Cleveland, unless they trade, someone trades up to get him. But FanDuel has over-unders for the top prospects. They have exact order parlays. They have top 10 picks. However you want to attack it. Harry, what are you going with? What's your best bets for these draft, for this draft?
First, I got Franz Wagner from Michigan going under 9.5 picks at minus 112. Good size at 6'9", 220. He can play inside and outside. Very agile. Great defender. And he can shoot the ball, shoot the three if needed. So that's my first pick. Mm-hmm. And my second pick is the exact four picks fit if going
this
way. At plus 880. Cunningham to Detroit. Detroit needs a score. Cunningham gives them that. Then second, I'm going to take Jalen Suggs for Houston. Average 15-5-5 at Gonzaga as a freshman, shot 50%. And Houston needs a player like they had in Harden who can do it all, and Suggs can do that. Cleveland with a third pick, I'm taking USC's Evan Mobley. He's long, 7-footer, 17-9 as a freshman with the Trojans, 3 blocks a game, shot 58%, versatile, and a great defensive player. And then fourth, I'm going to take Jalen Green for Toronto, shooting guard. I think, like you said, he averaged 30, Sal. He also averaged in the senior year in high school 30 points a game. And he can fill the void as a shooting guard because Kyle Lowry is not going to be Darren's guy. Kyle Lowry will not be with the Raptors anymore. He's going to test the free agent market. So Toronto takes Jalen Green. So it's Cunningham, Suggs, Mobley, and Green at plus 880 to be the exact four picks.
Mm. All right. So you're saying basically Green and Suggs switch it's a little different than that. But Jalen Green is supposed to go second, right? So you get plus 80 for that exact order. Parley Kid, you're all over Suggs too.
You
should be taken early.
Man. Well, I think if you just stick to what I think it's plus 154 is the standard Cunningham, Green, Mobley, Suggs. I believe that's plus 154 on FanDuel. I agree with what Harry's saying. If I was a GM in this draft, Suggs would be my number two all day, all night. In fact, I would consider him taking him number one. I think he might be the best player in this draft in the long run. I love Suggs as a player. Do it all type of guy. I think he's going to be the best player coming out of this draft. So I know this is not a very sexy pick I'm making here, but this is something where I gave up on making my tuition picks.
Oh yeah,
because I got to pay for 4 tuitions next year, Sal.
Right.
So, but if I were to really coin it, I could coin this pick: Suggs under 4.5 minus 215.
So that's to go in the top four picks.
Okay. It is a lock.
Whoa.
And to me, this is a lock. And minus 215, it's still not terrible odds to get him here. He is a lock. If he doesn't go top four, I will not talk about the NBA ever again. I will never.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I'm done. I'm done.
How can I make that bet?
If he doesn't go top four, I might be done
anyway. Yeah,
I want to be done.
I'll quit gambling altogether if Suggs doesn't go.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll be done. I'll retire. Wow. I'll retire.
How about this, Darren? How about this, Darren? On Friday, after Thursday's picks, and he doesn't go in the top four, you have to invest $500 with me and Brian in roulette on Friday.
Oh yeah, we'll be in Vegas. Yeah.
I'll tell you Harry, you're the roulette master. Yeah. I will give you $500 and win me money. All right, buddy.
I will give it
to you.
What do you think of this, babyface Joel Solomon? This is quite a proclamation. We're getting a lot of these lately. You know, Eddie Spaghetti said he wouldn't watch the Yankees anymore if they made it to the playoff. Right? What did he say? I don't know why everyone's going nuts with this.
I mean, really, I think Parlay Kid, there's no one from Dayton on the board this year, so he needed to find his guy.
Yeah,
that's what's going on here.
Thank God.
I mean, Jalen Crutcher could go in round two somewhere, so it could happen. But Suggs, Harry, you love Suggs, don't you?
Big asterisk.
Darren, you were all over him during the tournament, and you nailed it.
Minus 215, the guy's going at least fourth. There's no way he can go past that. So, put a lot of money on this. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on this.
All right, Parlay Kid, I'm going to let you catch your breath, and then we'll get to your second pick because we have Furman waiting in the room in a few minutes. But in the meantime, Brother Bry, you have Mitchell, not Donovan Mitchell, not the Parlay Kid's choice for MVP, but the great player from Bell.
Yeah, Davion Mitchell, taking him under – oh, sorry. I screwed that up. You know, I'm screwing up the numbers here already. Oh, yeah, I'm taking him over 9.5.
Love this one.
He was one of the most exciting players in the tournament. Was definitely, probably, you know, the main reason that Baylor won that championship. But to me, he reminds me, I don't know, for ever since I've watched him, he reminds me, and maybe people are saying this, I'm not sure, but he reminds me of a much more offensive, faster version of Patrick Beverley. I think he'll come in right away. He'll be able to, you know, he'll come off the bench, defend most, you know, the really good guards. He'll be great in transition. But this guy's going to be 23 before the season even begins. I don't think his skill set is necessarily that of a top nine pick. My guess is most teams don't know if he's a starter, right? Is he a starter? I mean, I think he's going to be a very good player. I don't know if he's a starter. And the last thing is, I've been, you know, These mock drafts, I look at a billion of them. And again, if anybody's kid wrote one, I'm looking at them. I don't even know which ones I'm looking at. But
that's the thing. It only takes one team to screw up an over.
Yeah,
that,
but
right?
You know, similar to like how Harry likes Wagner going under the 9.5, I like him going, you know, if somebody like Wagner goes in the top nine, Mitchell's definitely falling out of the top nine.
Well, here's the thing. I don't wanna screw up Fandle here, but you could have Wagner at, what's his over-under? His over-under is 9.5 is over minus 112. And for him to be in the top 10 is minus 188. So under 9.5 is, I probably shouldn't even mention this. Franz Wagner's under is minus 112. Over is also minus 112. But to be in the top 10, yes, is minus 188. So you take his over-under if you want him to be, you take his under if you think he's going to be in the top 10, right? Oh, although you missed out on the
10. The 10 is the number.
But. All right. See, they get it. See, I'm stupid. All right. I want to say before Furman jumps on here, Moses Moody, Arkansas freshman. Speaking of Furman, he feuded with the coach all year long, and that's what people remember Arkansas for. But
that's right.
Moody, under 11.5, minus 152, not great odds. I know the Pacers, they have 13. They held a pre-draft workout for only two players. He was one of them. So they might trade up. He's NBA ready body-wise. He has like a 7-foot wingspan. He has a high, they call him a high motor, low ceiling player, right? So he's going to get in there. He's going to give you all the energy you need for a backup. And I'm reading a lot with Charlotte at 11, at exactly 11, which is why the number's 11.5. That's who they want to pair LaMelo with. So that would be fun. Moses Moody, 11.5. Pretty good, right? You want to throw one more real quick, Parlay Kid? And then, Brian, I think you have another one.
Yeah, I'm going to throw one at you. It's kind of like what we were just talking about Wagner.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go Book Knight from Connecticut, top 10.
All right.
At minus 200. There's been some unbelievable reports coming out of him. He's been shooting lights out in workouts. He's got great length. He's basically today's type of player. He is rising every day as the draft gets closer. Yep. Started probably in the lottery somewhere, but now he's worked his way into the top 10. Love him at minus 200.
All right.
I think he's going to be a big-time NBA player.
Brother Bri, you got one more left. Mitchell, Kispert, that was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to go, you know. Not for Kispert. Yeah, I know. I've loved Corey Kispert. You know, he was somebody I wanted the Knicks to draft. I've been saying that all season. But I do like him under 13.5 because you're getting at plus 128. Now, I was just saying Mitchell's age should be a deterrent, but not here necessarily for Kispert. I get that. But mostly because the draft position between 9.5 and 13.5. But I think everyone would agree Kispert by far is the best shooter in this draft. It's not even close, even though he struggled a little bit in the NCAA tournament. You know, he's close to 6'7". He's pretty athletic. He'll defend well enough in the NBA. He's definitely, I think, like a more athletic version of Joe Harris. And I feel like you would take Joe Harris in the top 13. He'll play a big role on a good team. He should start at some point in time. And I could see a team that's a win now type of team, or a team that desperately needs shooting that trades up to get Kispert here in the top 13.
There you go. All right. We'll
Let's go Knicks. That's going to be the Knicks.
Let's go. I mean, have the Knicks taken, I don't want to take too much time on this, but in the last, how many, when was the last time the Knicks took a player that you wanted them to take? The player you wanted them to take. Like if you would have before the draft said, I want them to take this guy.
Well, there.
I was happy that Toppin fell to them last year.
You were happy, but you
didn't. Personal reasons.
Yeah, so. Right.
But
yeah.
Before that, it was probably decades.
It's unbelievable, right? It shouldn't be like that. All right. Well, there is some weird stuff obviously goes on in the NBA draft. That is next Thursday. We will post these to make it easier for you to look at. And then everyone will scream at us like, well, you can't get Suggs under 4.5 anymore. I'm like, shut up. We did this 7 days before. All right. Let's bring on our guest. Our guest today, here he is. He's a friend of mine, but today we are the most mortal of enemies. You know him from Fox Bet Live, host of Bet the Board podcast, and star of many thought-provoking, inspirational sports gambling videos shot from a Ferris wheel. Todd Furman is here.
What's up, guys and girls?
Oh, yeah.
There he is. No girls.
I mean,
no girls
Harry,
here.
When he takes off his shirt, I mean, it has a solid D cup, so that counts for something.
True, Todd, true.
That was good. That was a good one. Come on.
What's happening, Furman?
Not a whole heck of a lot, gentlemen. Sally, were you getting nervous watching the first round of the 3M? Did you call it a favor to the weather gods, hoping that the heavens would open up and my boy Fowler wouldn't be able to finish his first round?
I don't. Okay, so let me backtrack here. Furman and I are battling for first place. This is the very last game day. We have three bets each remaining. Clay is out of it. He has been out of it. I don't even know why he's even been on the show for the last 3 years, but he's far away in third place. So what does Furman do? He fires away on first round leaders. It's the only thing with big odds left that concludes on a Thursday. We think it concludes. Now there's a rain delay. He has Fowler, who is a shot off the lead with three holes remaining. And if Fowler, I don't know if you figured this out, Furman. If Fowler wins, I probably shouldn't even do the math for you. If Fowler wins outright the first round, you're $5 behind me.
Oh, trust me.
Oh, he's done the math. He's done the math.
Harry, I've gone through every permutation in terms of trying to figure out how to handle my bets to make sure I get it in, because now I don't have Ricky in the clubhouse as the leader. So it's trying to find a three-team parlay with women's Olympic soccer to fire in there. And honestly, Sal, you have to hope this first round gets completed, because if it doesn't by the middle of the day on Friday, season three technically goes the same way as season two. There's no official winner. It's great.
Oh, stop it. What are you talking about? They'll complete it by tomorrow morning, though. That would be my luck. That would be just my luck. I don't know what's going to be with this, but you want it to be complete, too, because you need that extra money to fire away tonight, right? Or maybe you won't.
I don't think I'm going to have the chance, because the round isn't going to be done by the time our final show of actually making bets will air. So I have to kind of go in there of the mindset that, all right, how can I find a smaller parlay here or there? I'm not going to fire as big on a baseball three teamer as I otherwise would have. Maybe I needed six or eight teams if my guys were out, but it'll definitely make for an interesting sweat. I was just hoping Ricky could finish his round before bets had to be submitted today. And then obviously it was going to change strategy a little bit.
And then I think you're 550 or something off if he ties for first, right?
Yeah, like I mean, I'm not quite sure. I mean, I may have to make a call to Fox, but we know they do things the way they want. So they may not be familiar with dead heat rules. So I know rest of the degenerate trifecta here gets to be the arbiters. I think we should go straight up odds. No dead heat rules and really make Fell sweat.
You don't want to win this way. You Furman, you don't want to win this way. You're a foremost authority. You've worked in Vegas. You're an odds maker. You testified in Sacramento. Like, well,
hold on one second.
Like,
I don't want to win this way. Yeah. Coming from the guy that bet Panama to win or tie at minus, I don't even know like what
that
numbers were.
I like that bet for weeks. You could ask these guys. I love that.
I think a $500 bet walked up to the window at the casino might pay you a nickel next week at Caesars if you're lucky. And I don't mean another 500. I mean an actual American nickel.
It was 500 to win 503. I strategized. I don't even know why I'm so crazy about this. I think I'm definitely a 10. I don't think you care as much. Like, my wife is like, what the hell do you care? And like, so, Bonetta at work.
I care for bragging rights, but it is funny. Yeah. I can only imagine what Melissa has said about all of it. I mean, Nicole saw my frustration when Costa Rica beats Jamaica. And she kind of turns and looks at me. She goes, is there anybody that cares other than you and Sal? Because we know Clay doesn't. I go, I don't think the producers care. I don't think social media does or anybody else. They're just rooting against both of us. So our respective friend groups can try and troll us at every turn.
Well, here's the thing. And you're right about that. But and I think I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about this. But if there was a season 4, I think we could say that there's no season 4 and that there's not going to be a competition. That element is out of there. Right. Regardless of what becomes
there may
of
not
show.
Be a competition and there might not be a contract. So,
right. There might not be any.
Four, we can set odds in some capacity. I mean, I've seen a list, Sal, that they've talked about potential replacements for me. And I'm not quite sure you're going to feel comfortable sitting in the hot seat if those come to fruition. So
I'm not comfortable anyway. What I am comfortable is talking about how you won 24 weeks and I only won 15. But because of this wrinkle where you get a free futures bet, I'm still in it. And I actually took the lead. Who did I win with? I went with the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl. By the way, if you pick the Super Bowl winner, that's what we talk about 80% of the time. I should get double for that. I took Baylor over Gonzaga. Who else did I? I know I had Poirier over
Tampa Bay, right?
McGregor. The Tampa Bay Lightning, right? Mm-hmm. I had that. What did you have, Furman? That's where you struck out. You had you were probably 3 for 24.
I think I hit 2 futures in the first 3 weeks with like the Tampa Bay Rays to win the American League and one other. And I think I went about 27 weeks before I tried to land another future. And not only did you have Baylor, but I had Gonzaga opposite you there.
Right.
I mean, I tried to get cute and thread the needle when I had the Golden Knights to win the Stanley Cup and bet Montreal plus 2.5 games for the series rather than betting them to win the series at 4-1. Right. I'm still playing under protest because I'm not quite sure Raheem Sterling should have been awarded a penalty kick that Harry Kane converted. And there's a chance that my beloved Danes could have gotten through. So I haven't exactly played my hand the right way as far as futures are concerned, but that's the nature of the game. I mean, all you need is a few bucks going into Final Jeopardy to have a chance to land that haymaker.
It is funny. You talk about, so you were essentially down $700 going into this week. And I know you say bet responsibly, but it really, it took on the aura of, all right, this is what you do, everybody, if you need to make up $700, right? I mean, would you recommend they go about it the way you did? Although we were restricted with the times and everything. And
I wouldn't when it comes to responsible gaming. And I haven't done a whole lot of baseball. So it was trying to figure out how I wanted to go about betting the soccer on Tuesday and the NBA. I mean, it did come down to, do I want to go all in with the Bucks on the money line or something along those lines? I mean, like I texted you, what could possibly go wrong betting the Jamaican national soccer team plus a half a goal against Costa Rica? And as we saw, they gave up one shot. It ended up in the back of the net. And now the rest may or may not be history unless Ricky Fowler can play the final 3 holes in 3 under.
You actually told, I think you'll get 1 under. You'll be fine. And you'll figure something out for tonight. But you actually told me during commercial, I don't know if you want this out, but you said soon enough after this week, you won't make a bet for another month. Is that true? That's blasphemous.
No. It won't quite be a month. I will take some time off. I'll continue to put the pedal to the metal in terms of NFL prep. But as far as the Olympics, I'm going to leave that stuff. I do have a couple bets that I made there. I took a shot with Australia in men's basketball at 22-1. I think I grabbed a little bit of Nigeria when they had the lead against Team USA in the exhibition. They were 200-1. I mean, for real small stakes. And that'll probably be about it. I'll let those run their course. And I'll try and recharge the batteries a little bit before the Hall of Fame game. I will bet the NFL preseason. I mean, if I was saying I wasn't going to bet that, that would be a lie. But this is the kind of time of year where normally, you know, once the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup would be over in June, you know, I'd have 4 or 5 weeks to really rest, relax, and come out full bore. But with the truncated schedule, condensed, whatever, you know, word we want to use for it, it's really pushed things back into late July, early August.
But I want to, so you're very much into this. All right, I'd rather take my time and study and read up on these teams. And then, but the key, right, the key to it, whether it's college football or pro football, is when do you abandon your notes and your research, right? When does a team come out that's 0-3 and they're like, all right, well, they're like the 49ers, for instance. I know you love that team and you hate the Packers. I know. All right. It, by the way, it helps that you don't have a favorite team. You could just really look at things honestly, unlike any of the rest of us. And it's shameful that you don't have a favorite team like any sport, but whatever, it's fine because it helps you as a gambler. But when do you know when to abandon a team? When is your research? Where do you throw it out the window?
So the NFL is a little bit different than college football. The NFL, because you're going to have a decent level of variance early on, you know the players. You expect teams coming into the season are going to ultimately play to their level. So if it's one or two bad performances early, I don't panic nearly as much. I'll trust my numbers. I'll dig into the box scores and make sure, hey, look, this may be a position battle that a team is going to be deficient in that can be exploited going forward. But college is a little bit different because college, it's one of those sports where you say you don't want to overreact, but you also don't want to underreact because you may come in with preconceived notions about a team. They may lay an egg week one. If they do so the second week, things can snowball quickly. So I'll make much larger sweeping changes to my numbers for college football than I will for the NFL, where I'll make modest adjustments. So, you know, if I believe that, say, a team like Utah that I'm extremely high on in the Pac-12, they get blown out by BYU in their season opener, I think it's the second week, then I may have to go back in and assess, hey, was it turnover luck or were they just beaten up in the trenches? And this is going to be a problem going forward. So I kind of use September for me for college football as a glorified preseason. And my wagers will get substantially larger through October and November, where some guys you talk to, you know, they trust their preseason prep, and whether they're stubborn or whatever else other terms you want to use, they're going to fire their biggest amounts while they claim the market's inefficient. Mm-hmm. I like to use a lot more situational analysis, handicapping than I do anything else.
And what about betting like Japanese baseball, just so that you could wake up to have like eight results like Harry? Like Harry can't go to sleep without having like sit like Russian tennis or Japanese baseball. How many years past that are you? Or were you ever involved in that? Do you ever have to have action 24 hours?
You know what? I never got roped into that. I guess the closest I came to that when I was working behind the counter at Caesars was trying to get into the European domestic soccer league. Because at least on the West Coast, as you guys know, I mean, you get a game kicking off in the Premiership on Saturday morning at 4:30. I mean, you could put two or three winners on the board before you even get the first college football kickoff during the course of the fall. So that's about as degenerate as I got. I will say when I studied abroad in college, I tried to handicap National Rugby League, which is the Australian rugby equivalent closest to football. But that was before, honestly, everybody kind of mirrored each other. So they had the TAB, you know, kind of the OTB corner bookmaker shops. And all I would do is I'd look at the odds on like Pinnacle and some of the sharper offshore books. And I bet the numbers that were off, and these Australians that were sitting there slugging back their twoies and everything else thought I was the sharpest guy in the world, going, all I'm using is market inefficiency to try and pay for a couple extra beers later in the week.
You never should have left. You should have stayed there. I mean, that's way better than behind the counter.
Amazingly enough, the market finally caught up, and unfortunately, I can't exploit the same tactics I used to use back
then.
You
were banned. You were banned from the country.
Todd, just jump on the Doosan Bears.
He loves the Doosan Bears. He won't shut up about them.
I want to know, Sal, have you ever asked Harry, have you guys ever asked him to, you know, fully publish his KBO power rating so you could see what those numbers look like?
Do it, Harry. Do it. Yeah.
Starting tonight.
You know what? I could send you his bets instead.
Hey, I mean, everything makes great fade material. And the reality of it is you want a guy that you're following to be really good or really bad. So I'm sure there are plenty of loyal listeners out there that were able to finance beautiful vacations.
Oh my God.
Engagement rings. You know, third homes based on what Harry compiled during that 0-19-1 stretch.
What is your, have you heard of anything worse?
You want to be really good or really bad, Harry. That's all people want.
I mean,
I've heard anything worse than that, right? Like documented 0-19-1. Have you heard of anything like that?
But by the way, he's lost three straight now again. So
he's lost three, really. Yeah, so yeah, it's like two out of 23 or something.
Starting it again.
Cubs were dirtbags last night. Cubs. Look, I just want to, Sal, I just want to ask Todd's had a little bit of a Wi-Fi misconnection here. I just wonder, Todd, you live in Vegas. What did you? You're in a hotel. What did you get a comp at? El Cortez or the Union
Plaza?
He's in
Plaza? L.A. Harry. I'm in L.A.
This is what happens to shaky internet connection when I move into Sal's neighborhood of sorts.
Right.
I'm staying where in a Fox sponsored hotel. They'd at least take care of internet and Wi-Fi, but I got to pay out of pocket. That's what happens.
I've never heard of the hotel they put you up at. I've never. Are you paying? Oh, you're paying Wi-Fi out of pocket. Not the hotel.
No, not the hotel, but I do want to be reimbursed for my meal last night. I think the Bronzino they served me downstairs was caught out of Lake Mead and they imported it directly to the desert.
Good. I hope you get food poisoning and aren't able to focus on your last three bets. Let me ask you this. We're going to Vegas in a couple of weeks. You'll be there. We're going to have a party. What is Vegas like now? Is it with the masks? I know everyone's got to wear them in the casinos. Are we going to worry about this?
You know, it's a little bit of a different dynamic. I haven't been down since Clark County reinstated the mask mandate, and that's more for employees. They haven't done it for visitors yet. But the way things are trending, fingers crossed, we're going to be able to treat Vegas like we normally can. But it's like anywhere else right now. It's one day at a time. And you know what the crazy part about it? The casinos don't hesitate to take your money at the bars, restaurants, or tables, whether you have a mask on or not.
That's true.
I figured it'd be a slower bleed, but it can happen just as fast.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, I think what we're going to do is, Clay, we're doing the show together. I think we're going to hold Clay down and vaccinate him through the eyeballs. We're going to see if it works. It's going to be the first vaccination, right, actually in an eyeball. And by the way, he is paying for dinner. No question tonight.
Oh, 100%.
I insist he pays for dinner tonight.
And we may have to order martinis for everybody in the bar, including the band leader that Rachel Bonet has never been afraid to.
There you go. There you go. Well, that'll be fun. Well, Furman, may the best man win. I don't know did they resume the stupid tournament? I don't know going on.
I don't think so.
I'm so exhausted by this. It just needs to be done. We're going to be eating during a baseball game. Like we're going to be betting games to go to extra innings and shit, right? I think you belt. Oh, he froze on us.
I'm still here, but I don't know what's going on. This Wi-Fi.
I know. I think you conceded to me. I think that's what you said, and I will accept that. That's fine. All right. We're going to get going. Thank you, Furman.
Thanks, Todd.
Do it for,
good luck, Todd.
Good luck, Todd.
Don't wish him luck. That does it for another episode of Against All Odds. For the degenerate trifecta, spaghetti, meatballs, babyface Joel Solomon, and second place finisher Todd Furman, I'm Sal saying so long. And happy handicapping. Na 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 na